as is the norm most weeks at the moment, we've got a few technical issues, so we're hopefully going to come through. So we are going to carry on our trilogy. I've said trilogy, it might have been whatever a four-parter is. We started last week on episode 44, looking at the town that gave the podcast its name, Moulton. And tonight we're going to focus on the forgotten town that Nick always reminds us about, that we're actually really all from Norton, which is the twin town, Moulton and Norton. So we're going to spend some time south the river and we'll look at the pubs of our youth again and the bygone years and the current fairly limited pub scene in Norton. So that is the plan for this week. But as always, we'll catch up on over this coronation weekend. It's another bank holiday, which is very, very nice. So gents, are we okay? Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I don't need Bruce's suffering from the gremlins. Say something, Bruce. Frozen already.
Oh. Right, Nick, tell us what's in the glass then tonight. So you're just preparing a beer.
The Yorkshire pudding beer.
Oh, very good.
Now from Aldi? No, don't be daft. Morrison's made by the Yorkshire Pudding Beer Company now. He's got himself another name for his brewing as Howard. So, yeah, and they're brewing it up at Cropton in order to be able to meet demand.
Yeah,
right. Something like 4,000 litres of brew they can do up there. Then obviously they've got their own bottling plant there as well now. So yeah, Yorkshire Pudding Beer. And I'm enjoying it. I know you guys have got reservations about it, but I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, it's good. As we mentioned last week, I think it just announced that they've got a contract with Aldi, so the beers are in Aldi. How much was it in Morrison? Can you remember?
I've had it in a cupboard a while. It's one of those, I think you get 4 for £6, isn't it? Right. Something like that. Right. They had it on the end of the aisle. I mean, Howard's had it in there before Aldi took it, you know, when he was on the programme, the next best thing, whatever it's called. So, yeah. I mean, at least that's one thing about Morrison's. They do try and stock local beers, and certainly in our Morrison's at Moulton, they have not a bad range of local beers compared to Asda. But obviously, Asda isn't Yorkshire anymore, is it? Asda's owned by the Americans. I suppose Morrison's owned by the Americans, but at least they still keep to, you know, trying a regional produce. So, yeah, I tend to get my bottled beers from Morrison's now rather than from Asda.
Bruce, are you back with us?
No, I'm going to the pub at 9 o'clock, but I've been out about this week with quite a lot of beer tonight. So I've been to a coronation party prior to joining this. So I'm now going to the pub at 9 o'clock because I didn't realise the pubs are open till 12:30 tonight, aren't they?
Really? Right. I know Wetherspoons were extended for an hour, but I don't know if that was last night or tonight or tomorrow night or when. Because, you know, some of us having to work over the bank holiday weekend, so I won't be going anywhere.
No, I think they've been given quite a good... I think they've been given quite a good time. I think it was open earlier opening and later closing as well all weekend. So good for them. And, yeah, I'm the same. I've just had a beer, actually. I wasn't sure if we were going to have a beer, but they've had a fair few the last two nights as well. So I've been in the garage and I've got the last of my Thornbridge collection. This is Save the Leadmill, which is an IPA, which they did in collaboration with the Leadmill, which I think is in Sheffield, isn't it? Which is due to close down. So it's I don't know whether it's a little can, but it's poured pretty flat, which will be a little bit of a theme this evening. And we'll talk about my coronation beers, which I drank yesterday. So beery highlights. So again, Nick and Bruce, and said we've all been out. I've had a couple of beers out and about this week since last time we met. So I think, Bruce, you're kicking us off. So I think we're on your usual tour around some of the villages on the outskirts of York over the weekend.
Well, last night we started off at Elvington at the Grey House. Is it the Grey House? Yes, the Grey House, yeah. Where there was a coronation party in full swing, including a large delegation of people in 1940s RAF uniforms who had been to an event at the Air Museum, Yorkshire Air Museum in Elvington. So it was a cracking atmosphere in there, I have to say. Bunting everywhere, they were all there. And then the beer was superb too. They had some Hetton Pale on it. It was absolutely stunning. And then we went across the river, went to the village next door. I mean, they virtually joined about Sutton on Derwent. and Nick's been there with us in the past, haven't we, to the St. Vincent Hams, which used to be Fuller's most northerly pub. It's no longer owned by Fuller's, but it's been the same family for a lot of years. Beer Bridge is fantastic. It's a cracking country pub. It's quite an affluent village, and the pub's really well maintained. And again, the beers are absolutely astonishing there. Forgot what I was drinking now, actually. London Pride. Yes, London Pride. It was in fantastic form. 480 pints, we're getting a bit steeper, but it was in amazing form. But I've said earlier in the week that we had some friends from Lancashire for a day, so we visited a few pubs. I was at the Minster Inn on Marygate on Wednesday evening. And I have to say, what an amazing deal they do now. We did it, but we're going back Monday to Friday from 10 till 5 now. You can get get a pizza, a pint, and a side for £10, which is really quite astonishing value. We're drinking Ilse Blonde in there, and that was great in great form as well.
And then did you manage to get in, Bruce? Because last two times I've been there, Bruce, basically had the door closed in my face.
We did notice you have some tables reserved, and then on a Friday and Saturday night, like you say, if you don't have a table reserved, which is very peculiar, if the pub's full, he doesn't let you in. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, really. I mean, it's a bit annoying if you're meeting, like, because the trouble is, you can get in if you arrange to meet friends, you can be in the pub, they can come, and then they can't get in. So it is very strange. I mean, obviously, it was Wednesday tea time. I don't know of any other pub that does that. But it was turning out again. We sat down, couldn't get in the little bar. It was doing table service. So it's trying to kind of do a high-end, comfortable offering. And I suppose half of me thinks, well, it's a good thing, really. It's kind of putting people's comfort before profit. But like you were saying, Nick, it is a bit peculiar, especially on a Friday and Saturday night, because if you feel you could have come and can't get in, are you going to go back? But nevertheless,
obviously, it's a bit out of the way as well. So it's not worth the 10-minute, quarter-an-hour walk out there if I'm not going to be able to get in. So I don't think I'll be bothering again, to be honest with you.
No, I'd say I'd have to book a table to get in, wouldn't you? Nevertheless, it's a really nice pub. It's it's a 1-2-3-room pub with an old-fashioned hallway, serving hatch, a classic little boozer just through the museum gardens. Always a great selection of beers on in there as well. And I say that pizza deal is great. And then from there, it's the Acorn, and actually, I already drink Brew York beers, but they have Brew York Karma Chameleon on. And I said, we've got 2 pints of that and half a side. It was only something like £10.80. So I think the brewery up, it was about £4 a pint. And that was really yummy as well. So tonight we're going to participate in more of Mr. Smith's beers and see if the pubs open longer than usual. So I have to say, I've not had a bad pint all week, which is great, really.
Yeah.
And actually, we'd had 5 minutes to spare before I went to the restaurant. We did nip into Wetherspoons and had a half a Solitaire Blonde. Even that was quite nice as well. So, yes, I've not had a bad pint all week. So that's good to report.
Well, I'm afraid I can't report that quite the same, but I'll leave mine for now. Nick, you've sent a couple of pictures in this week. So you've been up to Whitby.
Yeah, I managed to get up to Whitby yesterday afternoon. It was busy, obviously, with being a bank holiday Saturday. The Abbey Brewery was ticking over very nicely again. Just managed to get the last table there. Managed to get a couple of quick ones down me, so I went on the IPA to start off with. And then I had their Jet Black, their licorice and chocolate-flavoured stout. It was ticking over very nicely there. It was a bit...
Hang on, you're just going to mute. I might not. You're on mute. Just to mute yourself, sorry.
We're still
in this podcast game.
Can you hear me again?
Right. Yeah, we've got you now. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
so a couple of quick ones in there. And then we went to, it's a chain pub, it's a Marston's pub, but it was all right. It's called the Penny Hedge, which is the Marston's have built sort of a hotel up on the, just inland on the South Cliff. And it was okay for a chain pub. Sadly, though, they were serving Wainwright, which was fine. And they've got some lovely decorative glasses now. And you sit there and, I'm a lover of the Lake District. And so you've got all these names listed and all the lakes shown on there. It's just such a great shame that it's not actually being brewed in the lakes anymore. And they've now get rid of the Jennings Brewery, which is a bit ironic, really, that, they're still putting money into making these fancy glasses and promoting Wainwright, the taste of the lakes and the beer of the lakes. And yet they're quite happy to get rid of the brewery up there. It's a shame.
Well, But Wainwright was always Thwaites. Wainwright never was a Jennings brew. It was a Thwaites brew, Nick. Thwaites brew was always traditionally brewed in Blackburn.
All right. Yeah, sorry, Bruce. Yeah, you got me there. Yep. Yeah, but anyway, it's still tagged, you know, the beer of the lake. So I mean, I suppose they could have Thwaites is closed now. Thwaites is closed now as well, aren't it? So you know, they want to promote a beer of the lake. Yeah. They could have maybe carried on brewing Wainwright at the Jenny's Brewery, because I understand Wainwright is on the top 10 of most popular beers. I know when you've put those league tables up before, Mike, I'm sure Wainwright was around about 5 or 6, wasn't it? So. It would have been lovely if they thought that Jennings beers weren't making any money anymore to at least brew the Wainwright in Cockermouth, where the Jennings brewery was.
Yeah, I'm just saying it doesn't say, it just says Carlsberg Marston brew Lancaster Bomber and brew Wainwright. It doesn't say. It does still say maybe brewed in Blackburn still at what was the Thwaites Brewery. Yeah, doesn't say exactly where it's brewed. Yeah, Whitby. So I'm looking forward. I've booked a few days up in Whitby for May. So hopefully I can get a few of those beers pubs again. I don't think there's anything new on the scene, but it'd be good to visit. I think me and Nick we did a podcast about Whitby. Probably in the mid 20s, I think we did, didn't we? And we actually went to a couple of places that we'd have not been to before. And I know that the Opinions, or it's the Beer Longings now called, the guy that was doing the Beer O'Clock show, and he's now got two new colleagues, and one of them had been to Whitby as well and was talking again in lots of things about how good the brewery is, the brewery tap, and again we've covered that ourselves. So my mixed week then, so I was working late on Thursday, so I stopped up in Bury, so it's a bit out in the sticks where the hotel is, where you travel lodge. It's kind of in a bit of a kind of retail park, but there is a Green King pub next door, which was typical Green King with what do they call those playgrounds, Bungle Jungle or whatever they're called. And I'd noticed before, the first time I've been in, it's got cast mark on the door. I thought, get in there then. But again, walked in there and found that, again, the theme really, of the 5 pumps, there was only 2 available. And the option was either GK IPA or Speckled Hen. And I guess I could have gone for a Speckled Hen. But in the end, I went for a pint of Guinness, which was actually quite good, actually. And it was £4.50. Yeah. But there's a Nasda across the road. So I need Nasda, and they do some quite good beer things. So those, they do, I guess it's their own brand. I don't know what it is, whether it is or not. It's the cheapest beer they do. It's £1.85 for those 500ml bottles there. And again, I kind of picked them up thinking, this looks like German lager, and got back, and it's one of those themes again. So again, for those on YouTube, those are those 2 bottles of lager I bought from Asda.
They look very authentic, don't they?
Feel the lock of whatever, a clock, and very German name on the front, German type branding. It's actually said, don't you see it there, brewed under Germany purity law, and then you look at the back, and it's actually brewed in France. So it's, again, it's not just in the UK where we get hoodwinked by the brewers. So anyway, that was not a great start, but thankfully on Friday, it's been a while since I've had a Friday night, because I'm normally away with a band playing, but I had Friday night free, so we went into town, and again just really went to the 2 locals, the Hot Water Cellar, and then tried a few beers, again 3 beers, just had 1 pint and a couple of halves to try some, and then across to Mellard's as well. And actually, we've been talking about Budvar. Actually, the Budvar, which was very nice, actually, in Mellard's. Again, price is not too bad. Managed to get some Neon Raptor, a bit of Weekend Project. A very interesting Bida also brewing, which they've done a collab. They're a Spanish brewery. It's quite interesting. And then again, if you're on YouTube, went to Wetherspoons yesterday morning for breakfast. And this Wetherspoons in Newcastle, underlined, is not actually heaving. But the coronation was having a bit of an impact. So that was about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You can see, actually, they had the coronation on in Wetherspoons, and they don't often have tellies on, but they do without any sound. But you can see how quiet it was, and it was pretty quiet.
I was in New York City Centre yesterday morning, and I went with bite some pork pies for a scotch and coronation with from the Shambles Butchers, and York City Centre was very, very quiet.
Yeah,
I think economically, it probably wasn't a good thing, the coronation on the Saturday yesterday. I think a lot of business would be quite cross.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, then I mentioned that for Saturday, actually this weekend, our local cricket club just down the road there where my nephew plays, they were having a ale and gin festival. So as promised, went along there. mentioned that I'd not seen many. To be honest, I haven't seen many Coronation beers out in the pubs I was in on Friday night. There weren't any Coronation beers around. But anyway, thankfully, at the cricket club, they were offering us, well, with the exception of London Pride, they were offering us six Coronation beers. So again, just run through them. There was Wadworth King's Ale, Green King Coronation Ale, Fuller's London Pride. I'm not quite sure where that snuck in, but there we go. Theason's Crown and Glory, Mansfield England's Pride, and Timothy Taylor's Celebration Ale. So I dutifully ticked them all off. I think I actually mentioned a pint of all of them. A little bit, I know I said to Unica to kind of message you a couple of things. Ups and downs slightly. Three of them were on hand pump. So the Fuller's Pride, the Mansfield, and the Timothy Taylor's were on hand pump. And then the other three, the Wadworth, the Green King, and the Theakstons were on just straight from the barrel, you know, typical kind of beer festival barrel. But I've got to say, unfortunately, the staff were probably not used to kind of serving that kind of beer. And so you can see with that picture at the top there, the Wadworth was okay, but it was very, very flat as it came out of the bottle. So I've got to say that the Timothy Taylor Celebration Ale was the pick, really. They were all fairly bland and kind of, you know, I don't know, really. Nothing really kind of jumped out. I mean,
yeah, because Wadworth beers are quite lovely, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that Wadworth there is supposed to be a golden ale with floral and citrus aromas, and you can see it was flat as a pancake and looks like standard bitter, really. The GK Coronation Ale, again, was an easy-drinking golden ale. Theason's Crown and Glory, a royal brew with honey and blackcurrant. Didn't really get much of that. You got a little bit of a taste there. England's Pride was a kind of typical kind of Midlands kind of bitter. But I've got to say, the Timothy Taylor Celebration Ale at 5%, which I started with probably the strongest, was a pick, really. And in fact, I ended up having two of those. And at £3.50 a pint, again, as we mentioned, it was probably going to be cheap, so it wasn't too bad, really. And I see they also managed to get the son on his revving up for his kind of first legal pints. So he was, we're just not quite about to get on that ball, but we got him on some Timothy Taylor's landlord. Because again, I think it was my brother-in-law went to the bar and asked for Timothy Taylor's, and even though they had it on hand pump, he ended up coming back with two. He said, they've given me two bottles for some reason. I said, no, they've got that really wrong anyway. So there we go. So it was all right. It was a good night. And I say it was interesting just taste some of those beers.
They would have been better taking the London Pride off the hand pump and putting one of the others on there, really. Because obviously London Pride, if you have it in London, is quite flat anyway.
Yeah, I wonder whether they have that on a more regular one of their lines, I think. I mean, they always have three hand pumps on, which is always great, actually. And again, it's pretty cheap, but there we go. So a quick rattle through beer news. We've mentioned we mentioned last week about Samuel Smith. I've got obviously somebody new in charge of the social media because they're putting out quite a lot of tweets and things. And we've mentioned this pub before. I think, Bruce, it was one of your choices. The Old Cheshire Pub in Fleet Street is one of the pubs in London and, you know, a flagship Sam Smith's Capital.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they have on, as you walk in there, they have this plaque saying that the pub was rebuilt in 1667. And then they list all of the reigns of all the monarchs. So they are here writing in. So at the bottom of the list, they're adding Prince Charles to the end for those on YouTube. So that was quite a nice little thing, really. Yule Cheshire Cheese Pub, Fleet Street. Today we pay tribute to new king by putting the sign. King Charles III is the 15th monarch to have reigned since the pub was rebuilt 356 years ago in 1667. Celebrate with us at this amazing old pub. And I noticed a couple of other kind of picked up some, you know, time out. I think it's about London Pub and somebody else had talked about pubs. And it always comes up, the Cheshire Cheese, doesn't it? As one of those kind of pubs that you've got to take off ready.
A lot of the pubs up Fleet Street aren't normally open on a Saturday, though, are they? Because obviously the only open in the city for when people are working Monday, Friday. So that's interesting they were open then.
And then, Bruce, you picked up this one, that the Star, which is kind of Sheffield's regional paper, they'd listed all of the, I think it goes a bit wrong here. It says 16, but they actually listed 17 and they got it quite wrong. And they ranked the Wetherspoons in South Yorkshire from best to worst. So again, if you're on YouTube, the actual number two is not number two; it's number one. So the best Wetherspoons, and I think they did this on Google reviews, was the Red Lion in Doncaster, which I'm going to say I've not been to. In fact, Doncaster, I've done a lot of drinking in Doncaster. And the bottom two, I think, were both Sheffield pubs. In that, the Banker's Draft was ranked, well, it'll be 15th there, I think, out of the rank. And the Rawson Spring, which in Hillsborough in Sheffield, was ranked at number, last one, number 16. So
I find it quite incredible that there's actually a pub worse than the Banker's Draft, because that is a godforsaken place. It is filthy.
You're a matter of opinion, bro.
Place for near the Wells, at the very least.
Yeah, I've got to say, me and Nick went there when we...
neglected, isn't it?
When we... When me and Nick went on our Sheffield crawl, we actually went there, and actually it wasn't too bad. The beer range is quite good that night. We had something to eat in there as well, because again, I think you flagged it as being one of the worst places in Sheffield to eat. Our experience was bad. It's a big old pub. I know what you mean. It's in the middle of the city centre, so it does get rammed. And I think, as always with Wetherspoons, there's sometimes not a lot of great glass collection going on. And again, you know, I probably would prefer to go to the, what's the other one that we tend to go to, the John Huntsman or something, isn't it?
Benjamin Huntsman, is it?
Huntsman, yeah. And of course,
next to where John Lewis used to be, or still is, or...
And there's the Waterworks. There's actually two Wetherspoons very close, and in fact, they're not miles away. I mean, Sheffield's quite, you know, it has got quite a lot of Wetherspoons actually in Sheffield, even in the centre there, because there's that other one that is across the road there as well. So that's our normal kind of spoons.
Good working class city, you see, Mike. Not necessarily for these white collar civil servants who prefer to go to these.
We mentioned last week that there'd been quite a bit of news about Black Sheep, and that continued. I think as we were talking, it kind of coming out. So we'd mentioned it, I think, in our first episode back, that there was administrators, BBC were running a story that they'd appointed the administrators. There was a bit of a pushback saying, yeah, we're still brewing though. Sean down at the Maltings, he kind of, again, tweeted about this as well. The Yorkshire Post ran something. But then I think halfway through the week, actually they themselves then came back and said, Black Sheep Brewery, thanks for all your supporting messages. We are not going anywhere. We have just had 22 tons of malt delivered and are busy making more beer and can supply everyone as normal. If you'd like to help us get your local and sup some Black Sheep. So it's still like one of those where I guess that they're there, maybe they're not kind of maybe going bust, but they are probably looking at, you know, how they move the keep the brewery moving forward, and whether that means that they reduce their offer, they focus on a particular, they are quite prominent in bottles. Black Sheep again is a beer you do find quite a lot, don't you? They have quite a lot of leverage with quite some of the big chains, so you often see Black Sheep as bit like not quite Doom Bar-ish, but it is quite prevalent, isn't it? So we'll watch that one, I think, with as we go forward. And then just a couple more things that came up. We mentioned Timothy Taylor, so I think that they have been pushing their Celebration Ale, which I guess, you know, for them, as we said, they seem to have kind of moved again. I know we've talked about their craft beer, their keg beer. They now push the tropical one that they're pushing quite hard, aren't they? And I guess for them, I mentioned last, we've not actually seen it on the shelves yet, but Thornbridge had done a collab with Budvar, the first time that Budvar had done any collab, and the Checkmates is what's come out there. It's a lager, 4%. I don't know what you think about this. Seabrooks have just announced a new crisp range, and would you believe it's roast potato flavour, which is, quite, I don't know whether it's a pea take, but it's... Who would have thought of that? Chris tasting a roast potato. And that's a collab with Aunt Bessie's, who again seem to be again quite prevalent, don't they, in whacking their name on anything, including beer. And I think somebody had said straight away, Northern Monk will be doing a version of this too. Yeah. So we will see. So that's a bit of beer news. So let's focus then on Norton. So as we mentioned last time, and again, I'm going to pay particular homage to a resource I mentioned last time, the pubs past and present of Malton and Norton. We did mention that list, 68 pubs. I've actually came across a new resource this week, which is called the Lost Pubs Project, which I've come across before. But again, if you are interested in your local area, it's got a huge database, 42,000 lost pubs and 29,000 plus photos. It's really a great website. It's organised in counties, and you click on counties and you get the individual names of towns. So Malton and Norton has its own page. And again, lists lots and lots of pubs. And again, you know, having lived in Moulton, well, Nick's lived in Moulton for 50-odd years, and I've been to Moulton for that long, not lived in it that long. I was amazed. We want one or two of these that I kind of, yeah, I guess that was a pub. So I don't know whether you guys were aware of this. So I've got three pictures on the board here. These are actually Moulton pubs, although we'll talk about something not in a minute ago. So again, M & Co, which is towards the top of the main high street in Moulton, that was once a pub. And at the opposite end, as you come down towards the river, on the corner there, this has been a various thing. I think it was last time it was a garden furniture shop, wasn't it? It was a carpet shop and a whatever it is in the Castlegate. And then again, as you come into Moulton, across from the Talbot Hotel, again, the old Talbot, which again, I guess you get because it's got it over the shop name, which again, I've got to say, I wouldn't have known that. And that's the little ginnel goes up to the back of the Green Man, doesn't it, in the new posh yard. So M & Co was, as a building now, was the Castle Howard Ox, up until, I think, the early 1900s.
But that was then the first supermarket ever in Moulton. That was it Lipton's?
Lipton's, yeah, yeah.
Before that, there was the Meadow Dairy. The Meadow Dairy.
And then the building that's right at the bottom, as you get onto over the river bridge, that was a Crown Anchor, not surprisingly, I guess, next to the river. And certainly was a pub back in 1893. And then I say the old Talbot, which is in, is that not, what kind of, what street? That's not Finkel Street, is that? What's that street called that goes up?
The Market Street.
Market Street, yeah. Mm. So that's there as well. So
well, there was always talk where the Green Man was. That used to be two separate pubs.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a Green Man and then a pub next door. So whether that's it.
Yeah. So we might have a look at that when we do the Moulton edition. So as I mentioned, Moulton is actually really made up of two towns, Moulton and Norton. Moulton sits to the north of the river. Norton sits to the south of the river being the old ridings boundary between the north and east riding. We mentioned last week that Norton actually is slightly bigger in terms of population, but it's mainly a kind of dormitory town, a residential area. It's got small commercial, one kind of main little commercial street, which is the high street, with a range, I guess. I mean, it's not unique, but I mean, they're all independent shops, aren't they, pretty much down there? I don't think there's any. Well, there's a couple of like little supermarkets, isn't there? But actually, most of the businesses are the pet shops and the hardware shops, and the butchers are all independent, which is quite nice.
A couple of good butchers.
Yeah. There's no longer a bank. There used to be a couple of banks down the street. There's no longer any banks down there.
Yeah, that
And as I said, unfortunately, there are very few pubs, although there were pubs in the past. So again, if you're on YouTube, the map there just links that the Moulton and Norton are together. Even in the old days, you were driving to Scarborough, you would have driven through both the towns. As you cross over the river, you enter Norton. And again, quite ironically, the actual station, the railway station in Moulton, is actually in Norton. Which again is a little bit confusing, but it takes Moulton as its name, although it's not. It's in Norton. And the same with the bus station as well. It's Moulton Bus Station, but it's not. It's in Norton. So anyway, don't want to confuse you too much. As you mentioned, both those are pretty central. So again, certainly the three pubs we're going to talk about today, there would be probably about a 10-15 minute walk from either the bus station or the rail station. And again, remember that you can still get your £2 fare on Coastliner buses. I think on the end of July, I'd extend it to, and I wonder whether they'll extend it even further. So there we go. Norton, again, is quite famous for floods. So, again, certainly if you live in the north, probably at some point on Look North, you've seen Norton and Moulton. You've not been hit so bad, have you, more recently? I think they've done quite a lot of work, been invested in a lot of pumps and flood things put in. It's mainly an agriculture area. So, again, there's a lot of farms. And we mentioned race horses, a lot of stables. It's got Moulton swimming pool again in Norton, and again some nice old buildings, nice church, some nice quite old buildings on Commercial Street as well, and the railway. So again, as you cross over the river, you cross over the railway, you're in Norton. So that's kind of works it through. So mentioned the resource, the past pubs of Norton and Moulton, and we said that 66 pubs were listed. For Norton alone, there were 19 pubs in Norton. Ooh. Up until kind of the early 1900s. So it's been quite a change around. There are currently, to my reckoning, only three and one, maybe one or two clubs, which are working men's clubs. So again, it's quite limited. And certainly compared to Moulton, much less of an offer, really. So we're going to have a look at some of these. But I say, you know, some of them, I think I kind of knew about, some of them are quite new. And certainly the last one there is an interesting one that, again, I didn't know that that was a pub. But we will come on to that as we go through. So the first two are, well, one pub that we did frequent, and then one that certainly I never went into. But I think, Bruce, you actually, your first house was quite close to this pub on Scarborough.
Yeah, if you're looking on YouTube, on the second picture on the left, I lived in the house directly to the right of the what was the disused pub now, the black and white tin building. I lived in the house next to the right there at Scarborough Road. And I do very, very vaguely, Dad was a big drinker, but pub next door, and lots of table went to the Balaclava pub, did close in 1972, and I can just very, very vaguely remember going in and being there.
Yeah.
Had that wonderful old pub smell that you're not getting out. And I do remember there being quite a dark pub inside with a hallway and a couple of rooms. I must have only been four, because it closed when I was five. I can just remember going in and being thinking it was quite a fascinating place. And I do vaguely remember being ever upset when it closed. So yes, my old house on there as well. Lovely.
Yeah, so that was the Balaclava. I think it was called the Bay Horse before that. And this is kind of the road as you kind of leave Norton and head towards Scarborough and the what is now the bypass. And then the other pub was a little bit further around the corner, back in on the end of Commercial Street, which now it doesn't even look like a pub now, does it? This was the Malt Shovel, which we remember as a Malt Shovel, and then became the Cornucopia Restaurant. And if I look, both of these pubs were Russell and Rangham's, actually. They were Russell's houses. Russell and Rangham's was a brewery based in Malton. They got taken over by Cameron's.
Yeah, the Malt Shovel was a nice, cosy pub, wasn't it? Lady Cornelia was the last landlady, wasn't she? Yeah. It's like going the Malt Shovel.
Yeah. I went in there once because they had a pool table in one of the rooms. Can't remember, they were on the left-hand side, the right-hand side.
It was that little one on the right-hand side. It was in that front room there. They had the pool table. Yeah,
so went in there once to just have a game of pool, remember? When I was not old enough to drink.
And then if you're on YouTube, this is the old Russell's and Rangham's brewery, which again was on the river. And again, if you know Morton, this is where Morrison's now is, or most of the site now is where Morrison's currently sits, is where Russell and Rangham's, and then Cameron's, wasn't it? When we were kind of growing up, it became Cameron's. They didn't brew their Cameron's, they used it as a bit of a depot. But again, and I think all that's gone. I think that's the wall still there, isn't the actual, you know, back in Morrison's car park, that retaining wall on the river is still there. But there's not much of those brewery buildings have all been demolished, and say Morrison's sits where that there is now. So here's another one. Now, this is quite close to where Nick currently lives. So again, I was amazed. This is on Wall Street, which is just up from the roundabout in Norton, if anybody knows Norton. There is a former pub on that roundabout. But there used to be two pubs on that roundabout, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the Railway Tavern and the Buckrows. But this was a pub as well, this building here. And again, you wouldn't, looking at it, you wouldn't think it was a pub, would you? It's now looks a little bit of an isolated kind of two-house terrace. Obviously, maybe, you know, other bits of it have been knocked down since. But yeah, this pub was apparently called the Pear Tree and was called as a beer house in 1838, 1840, 1854. But was no longer a business by 1864, and now it's a private house. So,
well, that's the thing. It's these beer houses, isn't it? Which literally were somebody's house who made beer, and you'd sit and have it in the front room, or you'd take it away with you.
Well, that'd be quite nice, isn't it? Nipping down the end of your local, wouldn't that? About a 2-minute walk from your front door. So, it'd be quite nice having that there. Or going down with you. I think you often sent the kids down with a big enamel jug. I need to get it filled up. So, interesting. So, again, as we said, there were these 19 pubs that were listed. Again, most of them, some of them did it was still on that list there, and actually not quite knew where it was or where it was actually positioned. Just the name of it was recorded. So I mentioned that on the roundabout in Norton, there was the Railway Tavern. Again, this has been a pub fairly recently, isn't it? And then it's been through a number of
times. The rail landmark, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's been through a fairly range of things. It probably wasn't a horn that we used too often. We probably went in there, and I couldn't remember in summer for some reason. It had a pool table again in that bottom room. And I think, if I remember, it was a Cameron's pub, I would have probably thought, when we were younger.
It was,
It was probably slightly, a little bit rough, a rough pub, wasn't it? And again,
it wasn't the night pub, but it wasn't comfortable, was it?
Yeah, a bit strange. And so the Railway Tavern was formerly the Bay Horse and then the railway. When obviously the railway came, getting quite an old pub. in that it was around in the mid-1800s when it changed its name when the railway arrived in 1845. And then across the way from that is one that me and Bruce were kind of debating last week, was the Buckrose Hotel, which, again, I probably only ever went in once or twice. But this is the Buckrose. It's now run by a charity. It's next to what was the first parish church, and then that where swimming pool is. So again, if you're looking, the picture on the left of that is where Norton swimming pool is. A massive building. This, I got a picture of it that way. You look at that. Yeah. It's quite a big building, isn't it? And obviously, it's got an archway, which again suggests that it was probably a coaching house. And it says there that it was, I think, 1899. It was kind of built by somebody called Searle, and I think a lot of the early landlords were called Searle as well. That kind of went on. And I have got somewhere a picture of it. There we go, in its heyday. When I think next door was the Searle store, Searles and Sons store. So there was a shop on the other side of it, and then the Buckrose Hotel, which again is...
Look at that signage. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, quite prominent, that, isn't it? It's interesting that that's kind of there. And again, I guess it was quite a busy place and commercial travellers, etc. Again, you can see there, there's gates on the arch, which you get to where the horses went in and the carriages went in. And again, you can see horse and carts outside the front here. Yeah, so, but again, unfortunately, a pub that was, I don't remember it. I mean, it must have been closed 40 odd years or so now. I don't think it says on there when it closed. But again, Nick, I don't think you ever went in there, did you?
Not the book. I remember it as a pub, but I didn't go in there no, can't remember going in there.
I just remember having those a long corridor with all those rooms out the back that kind of seemed to go on forever and ever and ever. And it was always a bit of a strange place, really. So that was the book I was in.
I remember it going, I would think. It was quite a popular pub, I remember.
Yeah.
Quite a popular pub.
So a bit further down on the other side of the swimming pool, as you head back towards where the railway is, there is another building, which again was another public house. Again, this has been a cafe. I think it's run by a charity now. It's opposite the garage in Norton again. So have you ever been?
Well, it was the Jockey Club as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jockey Club. So this was called the Griffin, which again was news to me. I had not heard of this one. And it is late, closed in 1967 as a pub. Was built and opened as a beer house in 1860, but was given a full license in 1873. It closed in 1967. And again, interestingly, again, and something that I didn't know a lot about, there was a Griffin Brewery in Moulton as well. So Griffin Brewery established in 1793, changed ownership many times during its existence. And was closed in 1879. And it was the first co-op somewhere on Castlegate. So I guess it would have been near where that brewery was that Russell's and Wrangham's took over, maybe in there as well. And again, it's now, well, it says there, it's now Woolen's Good Factory. Again, I don't know how old this is, this thing. But again, another building that once was a pub, but unfortunately no longer is. And then this one really got me, so this is Moulton Station from the other side. And there's always been a cafe here, and I think it still functions cafe, doesn't it? But actually, Moulton in the good old days, that's really not surprising. We've talked a lot about refreshment rooms, haven't we? We've talked in glorious tones about Dewsbury refreshment off room and Staley Bridge and Bridlington. Well, Moulton had its own. So this was the Queen's Arms, the railway refreshment rooms, that was built and opened in 1854. But unfortunately closed after the Second World War. But again, and if you look at it, it looks like a pub, doesn't it? But you know what? It never crossed my mind that was a pub. And certainly for us, it's, you know, it was always just somewhere you could nip in as a cafe. Even in that cafe bit, it doesn't feel pubby, does it, really?
I mean, Moulton was an important railway junction.
That cafe is now beginning to look very timeless when you go inside it. I mean,
Yeah, and you're right, Nick. One thing Moulton's good at, it has still got its railway, hasn't it? And they say it was quite an important line, branched off and brought in again things like the farming produce from Rillington Line, the Pickering Line. So it was a bit of a junction, wasn't it?
Bringing in fish and stuff from Ports, Whitby, coast, Scarborough.
They're
all going inland, barrels of herring. It used to have what, 3-4 platforms at one point in Moulton Station. Now there's no problem getting on the wrong train, getting the wrong platform, because there's one platform, the train goes in one way, it goes out the other way.
But
used to transport the race horses to the racetrack
by train. So again, I guess in its heyday, this pub would have been, the Queens would have been quite a busy place, you know, and somewhere where you say you'd wait for train or meet people as well. So what we've got left then? So there are currently three working pubs left in Norton, unfortunately. And we mentioned last week a couple of clubs. So the first one is the Hyde Park. Although when I looked on Watts pub, it does now say that Real Ale, unfortunately, is no longer available at the Hyde Park. So Hyde Park is on Old Street. It's probably one of the first pubs that we've been in, because certainly our parents were somewhere where they would go probably once a week for a drink. It's our end of the town, where me and Nick used to live. Again, it was, I don't know, mixed really. It's a pub, typical kind of estate pub. There's a bar on the left-hand side and a lounge on the right-hand side. We always tend to end up in the lounge. I don't know who owns it now. I couldn't find it. Does it say on there? It just says, community pub, two-room community pub. Doesn't say that it's chain, so I'm not quite sure. I don't know. It's a fair deal.
It had its peak days, didn't it? When John Rushworth ran,
yeah,
was rammed. I do remember there one day, and there was this most bizarre noise. And I looked down and I actually saw somebody vomiting into a full pint of lager. It was quite bizarre. Like, well, the noise, Tim, with the noise was like, yes, it's ingrained on my memory.
And again, if you look, it has got Cassmark on the door there, but I say it clearly states that there's currently no Real Ale available. So
it used to be, I mean, a lot of jockeys used to go in there, bro. A lot of the stable lads used to go in that one, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And again, just reading the thing, it's actually been there quite a long time. I guess the modern, I don't know whether that's a moderner building, but its history says that it was actually built in 1830. And it was called the Malt Shovel initially, and then changed its name a little bit later on to the Hyde Park.
I mean, that surprises me, because I would have said the design of the building was just post-World War II.
Yeah.
Which is when I would have said the council estate there had been built, but obviously it's predating that. Even the fact that, you know, having that toilets on the outside of the building.
Yeah, well, it just said
where the road goes.
On the explanation, it says it was behind the pub in 1830 was behind the present pub. So I guess that's kind of, there's a bit of the car park around the back there. So that's your first judge, but unfortunately, you can't really report what the beer is. I would imagine it's probably John Smith or something on keg behind the bar, and nobody, as Bruce has mentioned, a couple of macro lagers that you can try. Slightly, you know, a bit more of a homely pub, which is on Commercial Street, probably about 5 minutes walk from the Hyde Park. And again, probably a pub that we more likely were to use. Certainly, if we were just nipping out for a drink, Bruce, midweek, wasn't it, Ryan?
When it was definitely, yeah, bad, was it? Yeah,
it was the Union, and again had a bit of a legendary landlord, didn't it, for most of our time?
Yeah, John Tatey.
Tatey, and again, it's an interesting, obviously quite an old building, this one. It has a small kind of bar to the right hand side, kind of I don't know, rough and ready wooden floorboards, and the lounge on the left was quite a big place actually. And again had space for music and stuff, so I know the little stage that they had there as well. Again, I remember it being a Cameron's pub, so I think to my reflection, so it would be Strong Arm in there and Cameron's Best Bitter. It does currently state that it serves two regular beers, one being Doombar and one being Tetley Bitter. Although again, a bit of a shame, isn't it, when you're in such a fantastic area for real, you know, real good Yorkshire beers, it's selling those two macro beers. One brewed Lancashire and one, well, who knows where Sharp brewed these days. From there. So that's the Union. And then the other pub we have mentioned, which is the Derwent Arms, which is a little bit, it's opposite a couple of those pubs we just talked about as you're heading back towards the river. We mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago when me and Nick had been in there. Again, in our younger days, it was referred to as, it was Royal Oak. It's a bit confusing because there are three Royal Oaks in Malton Norton. And I guess I don't know why that changed the name, but it changed the name probably about, was it probably in the 90s it changed its name to Derwent Arms?
Yeah.
It's when Rushy took it over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So once again, John Rushworth's last pub. So I think it was a Rushworth that changed the name to Derwent Arms.
We had a famous by-election in Rydale in 1987. No, was it 1985 or 87? I can't remember now. I think it was 87. And me and friend Andrew got little jobs working for the Labour Party. We had a volunteer and we had a paid post. And all the people came through to canvass on the evening. And one night, Stuart Bell and Tony Blair came through. The only people came. Tony Blair was Shadow Trade and Industry Minister. And just by pure chance, our friend Andrew, you know, he went out in the car with Tony Blair. I went out with Stuart Bell. So Andrew spent the night with Tony Blair. But afterwards, we sat and had a drink with them both in lots of people helped us in the Royal Oaks it was in. So I actually did sit in a, have a pint with Tony Blair when this was the Royal Oak.
Very nice bloke indeed. Yeah, this was a Tetley's pub, I think, for most of its heritage, but more recently it's a bit more of a, I think it's a free house, or I don't know whether it's got a particular...
It's Marston's.
Marston's, is it? Yeah. I would say there's a bit of debate about whether it does serve beer. It claims it serves two regular beers. We have had some cask beer in there. I think me and Nick had a landlord in there, but I know last time we were in there, I don't think there was anything wrong, wasn't it, at all? There was I think all the pumps went, turned around and
went up on Guinness, didn't we?
We had the Guinness, yeah, which was okay. But yeah, big pub again. Quite a younger kind of crowd in there. Again, they do quite a lot of big screens for sport, etc. And have darts and pool tables, etc. Quite a big area at the back as well, a big outdoor area as well. So I say, unfortunately, the kind of beer scene in Norton's a little bit limited. So you've got three pubs. And we did mention that again, even though it's quite a small town, there were three quite successful working men's clubs, the Malton Bacon Factory, which has closed, the Railway Club and the Bright Steels. And again, we mentioned the Bright Steels Social Club, which is still available, still open there as well. Still looks quite lively, a bunch in there as well. Some interesting acts that they get on, I did notice. This Saturday, they've got the Susie and the Suits on, which is an interesting those on YouTube. And a regular is an old fat, old comic who sings a bit. Somebody called Mark Ritchie does a regular Saturday night there as well. But I did notice there that their membership fees for this year were £20, which is an absolute bargain, isn't it? Look at that, £20 for your membership. And I guess that gets you quite a discount on your beer as well. So, yeah, so unfortunately, it's a fairly limited beer scene in Norton.
I can't say goodbye now because I've got to go meet my friend down the road.
Right, Bruce. All right. Have a good one. Have a pint for us.
I'm going to Preston next Saturday, so I shall take pictures of all the pubs we go to, and we'll see you on the next one.
Right. See you, Bruce.
See you later.
Bye.
So Bruce is off across the road to the Crystal Palace to have some Sam Smith. I don't think there'll be no coronation beer. So it's a fairly short one tonight. But again, we thought it would be useful just to kind of, well, again, pay homage to Norton. I think we've done that a little bit. I think just a shame that it's
meeting.
Let's just get rid of. He's gone. It's just a shame that there isn't really a better scenery. And I suppose I don't know. I suppose Malton dominates, doesn't it? I suppose there's you know, I wouldn't say more prestige, but I guess it's the setting's a bit better in Malton. There's more of a kind of centre feel to it, isn't there? And there's kind of more of a tourist feel, isn't it?
Yeah, I think in Norton it was predominantly the stables and the horse racing that kept the pubs in Norton going, because that's where the vast majority of the stables were and still are. And obviously that's where the gallops are. And Bruce talked about it before that, you know, a lot of these single lads and lassies away from home, it was the early social aspect that they had and or would have. And I say, now that the racing isn't as predominant or prolific as it used to be, and also, you know, a lot of stable lads and lassies have got cars now, they can get out and about, whereas going back 20 or 30 years, they were young kids, 15, 16, 17, often coming from very poor backgrounds. You know, this is why a lot were Irish. I mean, obviously, that's how Bruce's dad came over here. That, you know, they were very much, that was it. They were in the community, when they were in the town, whereas now, you know, life's changed. People can get out and about, and even work in the stables is better paid than it used to be. It's still hard work, but, you know, it's because of minimum wage rules and regulations and all that sort of stuff, can afford to expand their horizons as far as leisure and recreation time is concerned.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I know somebody was, I read one of the local groups were talking about, you know, they said they did it through Malton, I think, one night this week, and it was absolutely dead. And people were saying, you know, it used to be such a great, lively place on a Friday, Saturday night. And people, you know, we would set off, wouldn't we? We'd probably call into one of those three pubs in Norton and then cross the river and go over to Malton and sometimes have a drink on the way back down again. And that culture just isn't there anymore, is it? You know, like you said, it's too much variation. Obviously, we have got York and Scarborough, you know, whatever, half an hour each way away. And that whole drinking, pub crawling culture that you probably had back in the 80s and 90s has just gone, hasn't it? You know, supermarkets and beers and the price of that, you know, compared to what you could drink at home and just the variety of things you can do. So I think, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, once again, you know, a lot more younger people have actually got their own homes now. So, you know, they've sacrificed going out to go to the supermarket, getting a shed load of cheap beer, and then having their mates around at home because they've got all the entertainment they want as well. Yeah. They can do their own karaoke. They've got Sky Sports. They've got music videos, everything they want. And by, you know, going to the supermarkets, now that Bruce has gone, we can champion Tim Martin again because he's been campaigning for years about bringing the cost of duty on down alcohol. Because how the hell can a pub compete with what supermarkets can afford to sell their alcohol for? Just can't be done.
So I don't think we'd probably say rush. If you get, you know, if you come into Malton, then I think our advice would be probably you don't need to go to Norton, really. There's not a great deal in there that'll entice you. And it's likely that it's probably all the union that you find any kind of real beer in there anyway. So the next podcast that we do, episode 46, we'll be looking at Malton and looking at kind of what you would now do and then what we'd recommend. And we, you know, we talk quite a lot about the pubs that we tend to use in Malton, but we'll put that together as a kind of, you know, if you were going to come to Malton and you had a couple of hours, the kind of three or four pubs to kind of visit, really. So that's it, really. So again, as Bruce said, he's off to Preston next weekend. I'm going to be in North Wales. I'm not quite sure how much relay we're going to get to in North Wales, but we'll see. Nick, no doubt you're working another week.
Aye.
And then I say, hopefully we might be able to meet up and do a bit of a session together, probably at the May Wit Week when sort of help up in Yorkshire as well. So hopefully that's been interesting. I say it's a bit of a different kind of feel this week, and not a lot to positive talk about really, but we thought it was worth doing. So have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time for the next podcast. So see you, Nicholas. Have a good week.
Ching ching.
Ching ching. All right, all the best.
See you soon. Bye bye.
As the norm most weeks at the moment, we've got a few technical issues, so we're hopefully going to come through. So we are going to carry on our trilogy. I've said trilogy, it might have been a whatever a four-parter is. We started last week on episode 45. Right, stop me.